Shalom. May the peace of Christ be with you wherever you are. If you are here for the first time or joined us recently, let me welcome you on behalf of GUMC. And if you do not have a home church that you attend regularly, let us help you to be part of this wonderful spiritual family. Well, we want to read the Bible together. It's a custom of our church to hold up the Bible and to declare that this is the Word of God. So if you're from DMC, you know what to do. Why don't we all stand and hold up our Bible? Are you ready? Just stand up. Let's read the Bible together as we declare the Word of God. Are you ready? This is my Bible. One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Now, we're going to read from the screen so that we all read from the same version. And let's read it aloud together from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 7 and verses 15 to 18. Are you ready? Okay, together. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, made perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For their worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.'" Verse 15, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is a covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we ask right now that you be our teacher. Will you come into our midst and illumine our minds, that we may not only understand your word in a deeper way, but to apply it effectively into our lives, that we may become more and more Christ-like in every way. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, we have come to the 8th sermon on the book of Hebrews. We are almost at the end with 2 more sermons to go after this. And so this letter of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians who had grown up under the law, and later they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and converted out of Judaism. They were actually facing persecutions from the Roman authorities as well as from their own Jewish families who were still in Judaism. It was therefore easier and more convenient for them to escape persecutions and hardship just by simply going back to Judaism. They could actually argue, after all, they worship the same God, right? But the writer of Hebrews passionately pleaded with them, "Don't go back. Jesus is so much better." He was urging them to keep moving forward in their faith, focus their eyes on Jesus, and run the race well to the end. And I believe this message is still relevant for those of us facing this very challenging time of the pandemic. You know, there's a favorite two-word phrase of young children or toddlers when they discover the power of speech. And all parents would know this phrase and even gotten tired of it. Any guess what this phrase is? Make a guess. I'm sure parents will have heard that over and over again. And this phrase is, "I want." Familiar, right? I want that toy, I want to eat that, I want to go out, I want to follow mommy or daddy. I want, and I want. You know, as adults, we too have our I want. In the beginning of the year, you may have wanted your pay rise, your dream holiday, your new gadget, new house, and some even said, "I want to find a husband or a wife. I want." And during this pandemic, there are also a lot of I want. I want this pandemic to end. I want to go to my favorite restaurant. I want to sit in an airplane. And some even wanting to eat airline food. And I'm serious. There are delivery services with airline menu. I want to drive long distance. I want to meet my friends. I want to go shopping. And the list goes on and on. Well, this is what I want. But has anybody thought about what God wants? Now, before I answer that question of what does God want, why don't we ask ourselves this question first instead? What doesn't God want? So strangely, in verse 5, we are told, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Although, we thought the entire Old Covenant law was about sacrifices and offerings. The aroma that pleases God. Well, if you don't get it, he emphasized it in verse 6. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. So, is there a contradiction? Now, these were the commandments laid out by Moses from God for the people to follow. Why is it now that we discovered God has not desired nor pleased with our sacrifices and offerings? What does this mean? Now, let's define sacrifices and offerings in our modern day context. Because these old covenant sacrifices and offerings are no longer required today. Now, what are these in our modern context? Church attendance, Bible reading, prayer, communion, good works, serving in ministry, financial offerings, etc. Now, these are religious duties of worship that we are all very familiar with. They are not wrong. In fact, they are good. Now, what God is picking on is not these sacrifices, but our motives. What's going on in our hearts? Why we do what we do? So, how are these seemingly good religious duties not acceptable to God? They are not acceptable for two reasons. Listen to this carefully. If, number one, it is used as a means to gain acceptance from God. Meaning, the more I do these things, the more I will be accepted by God. And secondly, if it is used as a means of gaining favor from God. Meaning, the more I do these things, the more He will bless me with more things in return. So a tit for tat kind of a thing. God is made into a genie in the lamp. Call out or call to when we need something. And that is why people become more religious in bad times. So what doesn't God want? That we think we can work our way to save ourselves and gain God's favor. And this is what the author is saying in verses 1 to 4. Because all this will not get an ounce of blessings and favor from God as far as salvation is concerned. So here's the big idea. The big idea is none of us can save ourselves. Only Jesus can. Let me repeat that. None of us can save ourselves. Only Jesus can. Let me read from verses 1 to 4. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never buy the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year. Make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Well, this has been repeated a number of times in the book of Hebrews. So the law is a shadow, not the real thing. It points to something that is the real deal. The law is only a shadow to tell you what God's standards are for you to be accepted. The law pointed to the fact that we are sinners, and the only way out is the shedding of animal blood to atone, or that's a big word, or to compensate for your sins. But it is not good enough, we are told. Otherwise, there's no need to repeat it year after year by the priests. It will also not do away with our repetitive sins due to our sinful hearts. It is there actually to remind you of your sins, and you are constantly feeling guilty. You don't even feel like you are saved sometimes, or that you will make it to heaven. So, do you feel like that occasionally? Is that what you think? Maybe you are still living in the old covenant. Think about that. Now, this is not a foreign concept to us as Asians. I grew up with animal sacrifices in my home before I became a Christian at 17 years old. My parents were religious, and so was I. There would always be offerings and sacrifices to the deities and ancestors. Remember the roast pig, the chicken, the fruits, the burning of joysticks, and paper money? In the hope that these things would be acceptable to these gods. And also in the hope they would be nice to us, right? And when things go wrong in our lives, it's often associated with the fact that these deities are angry with us. And we need to give more offerings and sacrifices to appease them. So I grew up in fear, thinking I must try really hard to save myself. And even then, I'm not sure where I will end up when I die, because I've never felt that I am good enough. You know, many Christians, including some of you here, still have this idea that God is like that, waiting for us to do something wrong and then whack us with a cane. We have this idea that we have to work really hard to please this God. So what does God want? And this is what is said in verse 7. Here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. And this I is the person of Jesus. Jesus have come to do your will. And what God wants is what Jesus came to do. It is God's will to save humanity through his Son and not through the sacrifices of animals. And after Jesus' death on the cross, he resurrected, he sat down at the right hand of God, and he said, "It is finished, it is done, price is paid, and God accepts it." There is nothing, listen to me, there is nothing you can do to save yourself except by what Jesus had done on the cross for you. And this is, in essence, the central teaching of the whole of Scripture. Emphasized in verse 14, "For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." So in summary, God knows you cannot do two things. Number one is that you cannot pay the penalty and save yourself through sacrifices or good works, because they are never good enough. And number two, you cannot stop sinning because of your sinful nature. These are bad news. So here's the big idea again. None of us can save ourselves. Only Jesus can. So let's now ask this question. What does God really want then? If you're here for the first time and you're not a Christian, so here's the good news. Listen up carefully. Number one, he wants to forgive you. You see, we don't have a God who is resistant to showing mercy and grace. In fact, it's shown in Psalm 103, verses 8 to 10. It says there, verse 8, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." Such precious, precious words from the Old Testament. You see, God can only do that if there is sufficient atonement or making up for our sins. And Jesus had done that. And God's Son, Jesus, had taken your punishment. You see, since Adam and Eve sinned, the entire human race have been plunged into sin. We know for a fact as parents, for example, that we don't have to teach our children to do bad things, right? They just naturally do them. We need to teach them what's morally good. So we go astray, alienated from God, lose our way, suffer in our sins, messed up our lives, suffers from guilt. And one day, we will stand in front of Him, God, facing our deserved punishment. You see, I grew up, and I think many of you as well, I grew up being taught to do good as a way of compensating my wrongs. If you do one thing wrong, make sure you do one good deed or one good thing to cover that up. Hopefully at the end of life, there are more good works that will outweigh the bad. So even in human justice system, you cannot tell the judge, just as you're about to be sentenced for a serious crime, and you cannot say to the judge these words, "Your Honor, can you please consider all the good works that I've done? The millions I've contributed to charity and countless people I've helped. Please let me go." So can the judge do that based on the law of justice? Can he do that? Some say to me, well, some say in Malaysia can. But we know for a fact that any self-respecting judge will need to implement the full force of the law. Otherwise, you cannot trust this judge to be fair and just, and he will be disqualified if he does that. Now, in the same way, if God looks the other way on all the things done wrong, this is not the God I can trust. Blood must be shed, punishment given, and hence the sacrifices of the old covenant, they are good, but they are a shadow and not sufficient. So God sent his son to the cross on your behalf because he is perfect. He qualifies as a complete sacrifice once and for all. The best works of men, all our best works, what you have done, what I have done to save ourselves, are still tainted with sin in the eyes of God. They are not acceptable. The Bible tells us that all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Not good enough. There was a story of the Hollywood actor Kevin Bacon. Those of you old enough will remember this name, Kevin Bacon, recounting a time when his six-year-old son, for the first time, saw a 1984 movie he starred in called Footloose. His son saw his dad swinging from beam to beam under the ceiling, and he exclaimed, "Hey, Dad, I didn't know you could do that. That's really cool." And this is what the father said, "That was not me. That's my stunt double." And the son asked, "What's a stunt double?" Well, the father said, "That's someone who dresses like me, looks like me, and does things I cannot do." The little boy was a little confused. But then he saw another movie about his dad acting as a gymnast. And he asked the father again, "Hey, Dad, the thing in the movie where you spin around on that gym bar and land on your feet, how did you do that?" And Kevin replied, "Son, no, that wasn't me. It was my gymnastic double." Okay, the son asked, "What's a gymnastic double?" Again, Kevin answered, "That's someone who dresses like me, looks like me, and does things I cannot do." There was a silence from the son. Then he asked in a very concerned voice, "Dad, so what did you actually do then?" And Kevin Bacon sheepishly replied, "My stunt and gymnastic double did all the work, and I got all the glory." Well, that's it. God and his son did all the work, and I get all the glory. Isn't that amazing? All you need to do is to accept what he had done for you. Believe in him. Repent and turn away from all the wrongs you have done. It's that simple. So what does God want? First, he wants to forgive you. And secondly, he wants to give you a new heart. You see, salvation is not just about saving you from hell, but God delivering you from the power of sins in your life on earth. Sacrifices have no power to help us overcome sins. God gives us now the ability to have an inner transformation so that we no longer obey God because we have to for the fear of punishment, but because we want to willingly and with joy. And this agent The agent of this inner transformation is called the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 15 says this. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after the time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." And this is what the Holy Spirit would do for you. The Holy Spirit is sent to help you live the Christian life. This process is called sanctification. Verse 10 says, "And by that will, we have been made holy." And that word holy is translated as sanctified in the English Standard Version. "And by that will, we have been sanctified through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." The process of sanctification suggests to us that we are not perfect overnight. It is not that we will not sin anymore, but with each passing day, as we experience victories over sins in our lives, we become more and more like Christ. You see, while on this earth, although we have been given a new heart, there is still the old flesh in us. There's always going to be that struggle. Sometimes the heart wins, and sometimes the flesh wins. But over time, you see many more wins from the heart than the flesh. You are never going to be perfect until the day you die, but you will have many victories. So listen to this carefully. The mark of salvation is not sinless perfection, but a sincere progression. Let me say that again. The mark of salvation is not sinless perfection, but a sincere progression. So many of us have experienced that transforming power in different areas of our lives, from our motivation to even our addictions. We found the power to forgive, to be compassionate, to overcome addictions. I remember my own life story many years ago in a hawker center in SS2. This lady gave me an extra change of 10 cents, and I reasoned I must have heard the price wrongly earlier. So in the past, I have no qualm about keeping an extra 10 cents, as it is her mistake, not mine. So when I arrived home, I was sure that was an extra change, no matter how I tried to rationalize it. And the Holy Spirit would not allow me to sleep well that night. So I decided the next morning to drive back to SS2 all the way there at the cost of 2 ringgit in petrol and 60 cents in parking ticket to give that 10 cents back to the hawker lady. And I confirmed the price with the lady, and indeed, it was an extra change. And this lady laughed at me why I would even bother to do that. Now, while seemingly foolish, I walked away glad. I walked away really glad that I obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit, returning 10 cents at the cost of 2 ringgit 60 cents. Then as I was walking, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit in my mind, right? Not hearing on my ear, but rather in my mind. And this is what I distinctly heard the Holy Spirit said to me, "Chris, if you can cheat with 10 cents, you can cheat a lot more later." Wow, that really got me. If you can cheat with 10 cents, you can cheat a lot more later. That was a lesson I will never forget, because it is a lesson of the Holy Spirit to me about integrity. And by the way, one of the best ways to tell if a person is truly saved is to see if that person has changed for the better since he followed Jesus. You know, others will also notice the changes. If there's not much change, really, you have to ask yourself whether you are a true follower or disciple of Jesus Christ. So what does God want? Firstly, I said God wants to forgive you. And secondly, he wants to give you a new heart. And thirdly, God wants obedience from this heart. Obedience. Verse 8 says, first he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." And verse 9, then he said, "Here I am, I've come to do your will." So he wants obedience from this heart, like Jesus. He doesn't want sacrifices because sometimes sacrifices can be a cloak or a disguise for our disobedience. You see, you can come to church, you can give your offerings, you can serve in ministry, and you can even go on a mission trip. You can do all these religious duties and yet are rebellious inside. All the sinful things you have done in secret, all your secret thoughts, and all your secret idols, you cannot hide from God. The story of King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15 illustrated this point. In the battle with his enemy, he was commanded by God to destroy everything. But he kept the best animals for himself in the pretense of using some of them as a sacrifice to God. And this is where Prophet Samuel said to Saul, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." So Saul was rebuked, and he died a tragic death later. You see, it's so easy for us to deceive ourselves, but God cannot be deceived. God looks deep into our hearts. Now, if you as a husband, just an illustration, if you as a husband is having an affair outside with another woman, and then you buy your wife a bouquet of beautiful flowers and then a very expensive diamond ring, do you think she will be happy with your gifts after she has found out about your affair? See, the flowers and diamond are precious and of value only as much as you are loyal and faithful to her. If a wife can take offense at the husband's hypocritical gifts, how much more do you think God, who knows your heart through and through? Your acts of service to God must come from a repentant, obedient, and sincere heart. See, when our boys were younger, we didn't spare them the rod. We set the boundaries, and when they did something wrong, they will be disciplined. My wife and I would play the role of good cop and bad cop. And one of us would discipline, and the other would go into the room a little later to make sure they are okay, and then to reason with them why they were punished, and to assure them of our love, and also for them to say to us that they still love us very much. So our simple message was simply this: do the right thing, not because of the cane, but because you love mommy and daddy. We knew we finally got through when one of the more rebellious ones in his teen exclaimed one day, "I now understand why I was caned when I was young." You see, his obedience is not to earn our love, because our love is unconditional. But he cannot be a hypocrite saying he loves us but goes on disobeying us. So let's recap. What does God want? And here's where you can respond, those of you who are listening. First, God wants to forgive you. If you're not a Christian, or you're not sure if you're one, really, today is the day you can receive what Jesus has done for you. Remember the big idea: none of us can save ourselves. Only Jesus can. Your part is simply to acknowledge your sins. Repent, meaning to decide to walk away from them with the help of Jesus, not your own way, not your own strength. And then to invite Jesus to walk with you from here on, to help you have victory over your sins. Now, if that's you, I want you to pray with me this simple prayer of invitation quietly in your heart right now. You know, God hears your prayer. You're not here by chance, really. God has been speaking to you, maybe. And I pray that if there's a desire of your heart to begin this journey, you can pray this prayer with me as a prayer of invitation. And this is also for those who want to renew your faith in God. So if that's you, bow your heads right now and pray with me these words. Remember, it's you praying. to the Lord Jesus. Are you ready? You repeat after me these words. Ready? One, two, go. Dear Lord Jesus. Together. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for letting things mess up my life, which you called sins. Sin is running my life without you. I confess these things to you. Teach me to repent and turn away from them. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, so that my sins can be forgiven. Today, I receive your forgiveness and invite you to come into my life. I want to begin a journey of faith with you and make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you have done that, I want you to indicate to us in one of these two ways. The first is to click the raise hands button on the chat screen, or point your phone camera at a QR code right in front of you, and a form will pop up to you for you to fill in your details so that we can contact you to help you in this journey of faith. And thank you for praying with me. And congratulations as well, because now you have begin that journey of faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, who can make a difference in your life. And the first thing that God wants is to forgive you. And secondly, God wants to give you a new heart. And this requires you to invite the Holy Spirit to transform you from the inside out. And thirdly, God wants obedience from this heart. And we can only do this when we give the Holy Spirit permission to do what He needs to do inside. This means we are to surrender and yield our lives to Him. So will you lift your hands to the Lord as I pray a prayer of blessings over you in these areas? If you need healing, place your hands on that part of your body. If someone in your family needs prayer, go to them now and place your hands on them. If that person is not with you, will you lift them up in your hands to the Heavenly Father? And this includes all of you with different needs for your work, business, or any other concerns. Remember, we are praying to the Almighty God who knows what's going on in our lives. So we pray in faith. So will you do that right now? Wherever you are, raise your hands to the Lord. If you want to stand, you can stand as well. But wherever you are, let's come in simple prayer to the Lord, and He will hear us. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, please show us the beauty and glory of why Jesus is better than anything else in this world. We realize how blessed we are because of the grace of God. Help us rejoice that there's nothing we need to do to make you love us more. Jesus has done it all. I simply ask that everyone in this room will experience the freedom and liberty we can have in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. May we have the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome sins in our lives and learning to yield and surrender every area of our lives to Him so that we live in victory. And I pray for everyone here with different needs and concerns. I pray for healing for those who need healing. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding for us according to the will of our Heavenly Father. So in Jesus' name, we pray for healing of the body, the mind, and the heart, and that in your goodness and kindness, we receive right now every good gift that comes from our good, good Father. May we learn to trust in Jesus in every area of our lives, especially that area of our lives where we are worried and concerned about. Indeed, we take comfort that Jesus is more than enough. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with us, both now and evermore. Amen. Thank you for being with us here today, and have a great week ahead of you. And we want to invite you to come back, bring a friend, and invite them to join us in the coming week's celebration. God bless you.